I'm usually given kind of a suggestion list of things that some of our leadership says, hey, why don't you talk about this or that and so forth. And we've got several things, unless I have something that I'm truly saying, hey, I want to bring this. And a couple things were asked, came to my attention to say it'd be good if I maybe address very briefly. And one was just to give a little bit about my update from my time away, being gone a month or so. One of the things that I spend a good portion of my time doing is thinking future thoughts. And I came back with a number of folders, of which new ideas. I spend a lot of time on new ideas. It's not the only thing I do, but I probably came back with a few hundred ideas that are all written down and so forth. And many of them were just miscellaneous. But then there were several buckets that I really tried to work in these buckets a little bit more. And these are the areas a year and a half from now, I think you will see us really trying to forge a direction in more detail than even I've come up with right now, for sure. But just to give you three of them, one, I think you're going to see almost like the move of the church in the 25th year, where we went to say, where we came to the point, we said we got to add the hand to the head and the heart. And so I put a title on this, and I'm calling it Radical Love, Embracing Diversity. I really think that's where we need to be thinking over the next years. We have to reflect the diversity of our community. And as you know, our community is changing rapidly. My prayer is that 7 years from now, 6.5 years, we get to the end of the next 5-year run, that we're going to look out at this team, which will be much bigger and so forth, Lord willing, but you're going to see it far, far, far more diverse. We're not diverse at all here, but if you look at the attendance, our new members' classes, it's becoming more and more a diverse gathering. However, it's happening in spite of us, not because of the intention that we're given to it. So I'll say this. I think when we went through a change in the 25-year, I think it required somewhat of a heart change, the whole way we looked at church and how we were going to go about it. When we go through a major campaign for finances, I've often said if we're going to see these kind of funds raised, it's going to be because there have been heart changes in the emphasis of what we're doing. I will assure you, if we see this happen, it will be because of heart change. Our leadership is already in the staff. We're kind of starting with the staff, and we're already starting some reading and some doing some things and laboring over some issues to think through future aspects of hiring and all kind of things. It's going to be a hard issue, I'll tell you that. One of the books that we read this last month or two, I read it while I was gone, and I found my mind just constantly kind of coming back to this issue. And as I do it, I think, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. I didn't even realize. God, forgive me, forgive me. I didn't even realize. So I think it's going to be a heart issue for us as a church, and I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a fun, exciting time as we walk through that. I'm kind of playing with this idea of a name for a growth plan in the church, and we're going to tackle the growth plan every year. I've always said we're going to be as faithful to reaching new people as we can possibly be. We try things. If we fail, we fail, but we're going to keep trying and keep going and keep going as best we can to reach new people. In doing so, and I'm talking about lost people, a little strategy, I don't have anything to write up on here, but an I-invite, a little I like the script I of iPhone, a big N, and then V-I-T-E, I-invite, and that we start thinking in terms of how are we as a staff, how are we as an elder and deacon team, how are we as a congregation, how are we going to invite people? Invitation is the way you get people into the faith. You invite them into a discussion. You invite them into an opportunity to read something. You invite them to come to a service. I mean, there are all kind of ways that we invite people. And so I want to get us all thinking missionally, more than we ever have. So that's something I'm going to keep pressing on and pressing. I'm convinced, to the degree that we live a missional life as Christians, to that degree, we'll have a hunger for the things of God. It is the exercise that precedes the hunger that feeds us. So I'm going to keep pressing and pressing and pressing. I think there would be a number of us here that say, I'm not real thrilled with the fruit that I saw this last year in my missional life. I feel like I'm a faithful follower. I'm trying to obey. I love the Lord, but why is nothing more happening? And so you'll see some things coming over the next year and a half, I think, that's going to be addressing that. I think you're going to see Life on Life take on some much broader opportunities. We are just having a problem right now in Life on Life in fulfilling orders. We've got places all over the world that are begging us to come. Something's happened big time in this arena. I mean, it's just going strong, but it is just hard. We're going to have to change the model to some degree in how we're going to fulfill orders and still without losing the quality that we have now. And so I spent some time thinking through that. How will we go about doing that? I was able to finish the book, Express Your Faith, which is going to be a tool for us that we'll be using. We hope to take Express to be something that churches all over can utilize. I don't know how many of you might have been at the last three or four of our Express Your Faith, but they're just growing bigger and bigger, and people coming from all over. And it's so hard for them to come here, and they can't get the coaching that we're finding so significantly important. And so we think if we could have them doing it where they are, and we certified leaders, and then they could in turn put their own Express Your Faith conference on and train their own people. And so we hope to see that coming about. I spent it ended up 2 days of my time working. I spent on writing a little letter. I think you probably all heard me mention it during the series that I did out of Daniel. And I said I was going to write my grandchildren a letter, and I was going to include that in it. It was a 2-day letter that I wrote. It took me 2 days to write it. And you ought to have seen me the last hour of my writing. I'm going to give it to them when they're 12. And I would encourage you guys that are granddads and dads, whatever, to think in terms of maybe preparing something that's to give to the children or the grandchildren. Our oldest is 8 years old right now, and you know, so it's 4 years off before any of them hit 12, and 12 is the year that I have written this for them. So I said, as you read this, this is your 12th birthday, this is your gift from Pops, and you know, whether I'm writing it now, I don't know if I'll be alive or not. Who knows? Hope I am. But here's what I'd like to say to you. And when I finished that letter, I was bawling like a baby. I couldn't even see the page to write anymore. I mean, I was just thinking about their future and what are they going to face and what are they, you know, what's life going to be like for them when they're young adults and so forth. And so I had the privilege to kind of map out my request for them and what they would pursue in terms of the means of grace and what they would try to hold on to as the major themes of life and what they would. So it just gave me an opportunity to think through life from their perspective. And so might be something you guys like to think. It was a rich exercise for me to do that. And maybe for some of you might find the same. So anyway, I won't say more about that, but it was a great, great time away. Very helpful. The last thing I want to do, been urged to do, is to give you an update on our all-in construction. You're seeing some of it take place now in the auditorium. We had hoped that you would already be seeing something happen on the camp aspect, and just a quick kind of overview of what happened. We had a major, major, major gift given to us. If we would not just take our money and kind of refurbish and kind of change our little pavilion, but if we were to build an iArts and a Camp All American primary use facility, and it was going to be just a wonderful new add to us. The costing of that came out literally close to twice what it should cost when we had it priced. We went all the way through ready for the drawings to be able to build it. And it's all because, it literally is all because we couldn't find a contractor who really was willing to do it. With all of the stuff going on in Atlanta right now, and particularly with the Braves and the Falcons, they've taken all the subs. They're just taken. And so all the people that usually be fighting for a job this big would, they said, sorry, we're not even willing to look at it. We won't look at it. And finally, we found one or two that did, but they said, yeah, we'll look at it, but they doubled the price, basically, saying, we don't want to do it, but if you got to get it done, this is what it would take to get us to do it. And so we said, it's not good stewardship to build at this point. So we pulled that thing off and said, okay, let's hold back on that. So we're already refurbishing the bathrooms in the shed area down there, and or the pavilion, and doing a few little paint and things, but nothing major at that right now. We hoped to have the swimming lake that you heard about. The swimming lake was to be hopefully well underway right now and hopefully have it finished for camp. However, we've run into some minor but lengthy snags with the government just in terms of getting our permits because of how they're viewing this, that, and the other. And it's not that it's stopping it from being done. It's not raising the cost. It's just we can't get the permit to start because it's in all the stuff that you go, the red tape stuff. So anyway, at this point, we had to pull it off until after camp. So we'll start that immediately when camp ends, so it'll be ready for the next year. So there's a little disappointing on that. When we come to the auditorium, you can see that we're well underway with the auditorium. The kind of the update there, all the painting and the carpet and the putting a little woodwork you'll see coming up soon. The side screens, all of that will be ready for Easter. The stage, everything pretty much will be ready for Easter. So we're really excited about that. The big screen in the back, we have a 40 by 20 LED screen that'll be in the back of the stage, and that will not be ready till after Easter. So we'll have a little delay on that one, so won't have it at Easter. The connecting foyer up here that we're talking about, where we hope to see the life of our church kind of take on a little different flavor in the way people hang around and some of the things that will be happening in this area, that will start in September. So everything looks good on that. We were able to get someone at that point to start and to bid at a great construction company, and we're going to be okay, I think, going forward with that. So that should start in September. I think that's all the updates on any of our staff know anything that I left out there that pretty much cover the updates on where we are? All right, let me just see quickly, just for a minute or two, any questions, anything you'd like to ask about anything I've shared or anything else? Just a question or two? We good? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the book on diversity that you said you were?
Chip, which one did we read? But we're reading a new one that we think's better.
The one that we read is called Being White.
Being White, yep. Being White. One.
There's another one that's we're reading called Under Our Skin.
Yep, which I have not started that one yet, but Under Our Skin. Yeah, yeah. So if you guys would like to read it as well, go ahead and jump at it. Be a great thing. I would assume it is. Chip, is it? Yeah.
Would recommend starting with Under Our Skin. First.
Yeah, Under Our Skin would be the better one. Yeah. The first one. All right. Okay. Good. I like to hear that. That's super. Anything else? Okay. I'm really excited about getting an update on the diaconate and some of the things going on. I think that's good. Is that next or?
Yeah, okay.
You got it?
One of the things I wanted to just quickly share with you, if it's okay. I didn't have a chance with our staff the other day, but Just want to say thank you. The relationships that I've developed with fellow staff and elders and deacons through the year has been invaluable. So I treasure the relationships that this group that we have together. That was one thing that really hit me is we talked about this Tuesday at our staff meeting. The other thing was the rich theology of our church, as I've been a part of this over the last, Debbie and I started coming the last day, and when we were in the day building, the rich theology has made, I mean, it's amazing. I don't know if you go to other churches, and I'm not trying to be arrogant here, sometimes you don't realize the good theology we have here and the sure footing that we have, and so appreciative of the rich theology. And then lastly, Randy, I just want to say thank you for your leadership, especially in the area of being missional. And I was sharing this with the Metro Atlanta Seminary students the other night as we were talking actually about St. Patrick, going that he was quite missional, this Englishman who went over to Ireland, that, and I said, you know, when we cease becoming missional, that we're dead in the water. And I just want to say thank you for your leadership in that whole area. And I think sometimes you've pushed it and pushed us in ways that get us out of our comfort zone, and thank God that you're doing that. And we appreciate that, and I want to say thank you to you personally for that, because I think our church has benefited so much from that. We do want to hear from Nathan Anderson about the deacons. So, Nathan, where are you? There you are. Good. Yeah. And Chris Saunders.
All right, well, thanks. Several months ago, Frank Mann and I got together with Randy Schlichting and Drew Warner to talk a little bit about how to have collaboration between the elders and deacons. And some other conversations I've had since then with deacons and a few other people just made me think that it would probably be a good idea to just give you guys a quick overview of what we're doing as deacons and how we're organized. And then we want to take a few minutes to focus on our deacon care team, which Chris is going to help me with. So we feel like that's probably the most relevant to what you guys are doing as elders in shepherding ministry. So do we have slides? I'll go ahead and jump right in here. So just as far as how we're organized as deacons, we report to the EMT, and Gordon Moore is our staff liaison. I took over as chairman last fall from Frank Mann, who had served in this role for quite a few years. And then we're split up into six teams, so really all of our deacons should be assigned to one of these teams. And we've got our building and grounds team, which is led by Ray Evans, and they're working with our facilities people to make sure that things are taken care of here around the church. And then our communion team is led by Ed Pepper, and they're setting up communion on a weekly basis in the hangar and the chapel, and then leading the charge when we've got all venues communion. Our widows team is led by Brad Koch, and they're working with our widows to just make sure that their needs are being taken care of. And then we've got Brandon takes care of communion or communications and technology for the deacons as he does for all the officers as well. Our audit team is led by Mark Marmon, and they're working with Perimeter's accounting and the annual audit just to make sure that that is being taken care of. And then our deacon care team, which is the team that distributes the deacon fund, is co-led by Philip Hicks and Chris Saunders. So just to give you an idea of how we're split out. And then, the next slide. One of the things we've tried to do as Perimeter has moved toward the parish model is to organize our deacon teams by parish where it makes sense to. So our deacon care team, when we're working with members in financial need, we try to assign deacons who are part of the same parish to work with those people. Really same with the widows. When we've got deacons assigned to widows, trying to do that by parish where we're able to. And then we've got people that are asking for assistance from outside the church. We've got three partners that we're working with in the area that we're supporting through the Deacons Fund. That's Salvation Army of Gwinnett, Norcross Co-op, and North Fulton Charities. And so that's somewhat fits the parish model as well. And then our other teams, some of those are more corporate-centric, our communion team and building and grounds audit and communications and technology. One other thing I did want to just tell you a little bit about is for each of our parishes, we've got a parish liaison assigned, and that's really kind of a point person. Each of these are deacons. It's kind of a point person for the parish. That's a somewhat open job description. If you as elders are trying to connect with deacons or have a need for the deacons, you can go through that person. And really works the other way is also where if deacons are needing to connect someone with the elders, they can go through that parish liaison. And it doesn't always flow that way. It doesn't necessarily need to, but just know that person is there to help with facilitating communication and whatever else needs to happen. So I would make note of who the person is in your parish. in case you have that need. So I'm going to turn it over to Chris to have him talk a little bit about our member care team and how that's working and how that applies to what you guys are doing as elders.
I'll switch with you. All right. Good evening. As Nathan said, Philip Hicks and I, we kind of co-lead the Deacon Care team. Now, under Deacon Care is a group called Member Care, and Member Care is, Philip and I stay pretty busy on the Member Care team. As each of you know, the Christmas fund typically goes to the deacons, and we begin to look at all the needs around the church from our members. And as I said, we stay very, very busy all year dealing with the physical needs of our members as it relates primarily to rental, paying for rent, paying for utilities, and a lot of medical care. A lot of times we'll have a particular member whose case will become a little bit more complicated, and we'll surround them with a Deacon Care team. And Ricky Dill will become involved to do some financial planning and things like that. But typically, those are the areas where most of our cases are dealing with. And the thing that Nathan and I and Philip wanted to make sure that you as elders were aware of is that these are members that are coming to the deacons for physical care. And if you as an elder want to become involved in that, not necessarily the process, but be aware of that, we have Pat Edwards. She kind of coordinates all of these member care programs that are going on. And you can reach out to Pat at any time, and she can give you a list of members that are under our care in some way or fashion that you could begin to reach out to. So as you're beginning to go through your shepherding process, dealing with people's spiritual needs, and if you know that there's some physical needs as well, we've got a resource available for your members in that area. Kind of look at this member care team is kind of a safety net for the people that you're dealing with. But it's a very, very good program, and we've seen a tremendous impact, and it's our members who are receiving this care. And so that's all I've got to say. If you do have any questions, feel free to ask me or Nathan or Philip. Is you still around, or but ask any one of the three of us. If you've got any questions, we'll be glad to give you all the answers that you might need. So thank you all very much for your service. Thanks.
Let me pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you so much for the deacons. We thank you for these men who so faithfully serve in this church, in many cases behind the scenes. And Lord, we can't say enough good things about this. Thank you for their labors. Thank you for the long hours for many. Thank you for the details. Thank you for the things that they take care of, that the elders, as we look at Scripture, can devote themselves to the Word of God and prayer. We thank you for these men. We are incredibly blessed to have this group of deacons. And so we ask your blessing on them. We ask your blessing on their families, and we ask your protection from the evil one. As Lord, I'm sure that they encounter a lot of spiritual warfare through this, and we pray that, Lord, you would protect them, protect their marriages, and, Lord, protect them and their families, and that God continue to give them fruitful ministry. So we thank you for the deacons, your blessings on them, and now blessings on our time as we get together as parishes. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.